Thanks. And that's what he looks like. You guys are great. I am so proud of this class. I bet you you're going to turn some heads when we get to India. If we didn't turn them already.
It's because we're white.
Speak for yourself.
I know.
On page 153, Chapter 11. Clarity of Pure Devotion said, "My ignorance has been dispelled by these words containing the highest secret spiritual knowledge which you spoke because of your compassion to me. You have let me hear the details of the birth and dissolution of all existence, O lotus-eyed, as well as about your immeasurable greatness. Even as you have declared, just so is your being, O Supreme Lord. I desire to see your imperishable form, O excellent complete consciousness, Krishna. If you think it is possible for it to be seen by me, O Lord, then, Lord of Union, Krishna, show your imperishable soul to me." The respected Supreme Divinity said, "See my hundreds and thousands of forms, son of she who excels, Arjuna, of various divine kinds, of various colors and shapes. See the sons of the light, the lords of wealth, the relievers of suffering, the lords of pure desire, those who purify. See also many imperceptible things and wonders of old descendant of the light of wisdom, Arjuna. Now see the entire perceivable world with that which moves and that which moves not, united into one in my body, who has conquered sleep, Arjuna, and any other thing that you wish to see. But you cannot see me with your own worldly eyes. I give you divine eyes. See my imperishable union." He who is victorious over all said, remember, Sanjay, the charioteer, is relating the conversation and the dialogue to Dhritarashtra, the blind king. "Having thus spoken, O king, the great lord of union, remover of duality, showed his supreme imperishable form to son of she who excels, Arjuna. He showed uncountable faces and eyes, uncountable marvelous things to be seen, uncountable divine ornaments, uncountable divine weapons at the ready. He wore a divine garland of flowers and cloth and emitted divine fragrance, the God who is the manifestation of all that is wonderful, the infinite face of the universe. If the light of 1,000 rising suns were to unite in the sky, that light would not compare to the light of that great soul. There, the son of he who is without prejudice, Arjuna, saw the many divisions of the entire universe residing in one, the body of the God of God. Then, conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, was filled with amazement, his hair standing on edge, with his hands folded and clasped in prayer, and head bowed with respect, spoke to the Lord. Clarity of Pure Devotion said, "I see in your body, O God, all of the gods, and also the multitude of all individual beings. The Lord, creative consciousness seated on a lotus, the sages and all divine serpents representing energies of existence. I see you with infinite forms on all sides, with countless arms, faces, and eyes. I see no beginning, no middle, and again no end, Lord of the universe of universal form. I see you with a crown, a club, a discus, and a massive light shining everywhere, which is difficult to look at as it is an immeasurable light blazing like the sun or like fire. You are the imperishable supreme to be known. You are the treasure of the universe. You are the infinite protector of the eternal ideal of perfection, and I regard you as the eternal, full, and perfect conscious being. I see you without beginning, middle, or end, with infinite strength and infinite arms. The moon and the sun are your eyes. The light of fire is in your face. With your light, you illuminate this universe. Heaven, earth, and the atmosphere are pervaded by you alone, as well as all the directions. Seeing this wonderful and terrible form, the three worlds tremble in fear, O great soul. It's just so much to behold. There's no context in which to contemplate, and therefore it's fearful. It's terrifying to see infinity. Verily, the multitude of gods enter into you. Some, with palms joined in emotion, accept your blessings. The multitude of sages and beings of perfect attainment praise you with complete hymns. The relievers of suffering, the sons of the light, the lords of wealth, the pure ones, the universal deities, those who long with pure desire, the shining ones, the ancestors, celestial singers, those who protect wealth, the forces of duality, and beings of perfect attainment, all are looking at you with astonishment. Seeing your immense form with many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, feet, stomachs, O one of mighty arms, Krishna, with many fearful teeth, all beings in the world are terrified, as I am also. Seeing your light of many colors touching the atmosphere, your open mouth, your immense eyes filled with light, my inner self is filled with fear. O Vishnu, who pervades the universe, I find neither courage nor peace. It's so immense, it's terrifying. There's no limit. We are not accustomed to perceiving without limit. Every form that we perceive has a context, a limitation, a definition. And suddenly Arjuna has this divine insight, and he's seeing beyond all limitations. It's terrifying, because how can he reside? How can he regard himself? He has no context in which to create a relationship. Seeing your terrible mouth gleaming in all directions like the fire at the time of dissolution, I can neither know nor attain happiness. O Lord of all the gods, residents of the universe, be pleased. In you are all the sons of blind ambition, and even the multitude of kings of this earth. Who rules fear, who injures his foes with weapons, the son of the charioteer who thinks himself the doer, and also our own warrior chiefs. With haste, they enter through those terrible teeth into your fearful mouth. Some are found stuck between the teeth, where their excellent bodies are crushed. Do you have a toothpick? Just as the waters of many rivers flow to the sea, so these terrible heroes of the world of men enter your radiant mouth. Just as moths enter the luminous fire to their immediate destruction, just so living beings enter your mouth to be destroyed immediately. The mouth of time, the mouth of infinity. It ingests all and then creates it again. The fierce rays and radiant light like fire from your face permeates, scorches, and devours the worlds, O Vishnu, who pervades the universe. Tell me who you are displaying this frightening form. I bow to you, O God, who grants boons. Be pleased. I wish to know you foremost. Indeed, I do not know the evolution of your nature. The respected supreme divinity said, I am mighty time, which makes the worlds perish. Here I am engaged in the process of destruction, and even without you, all these warriors stationed in opposing armies will not live. Therefore, rise and gain welfare. Completely conquering enemies who have already been slain by me, enjoy the kingdom, O you who can shoot with either hand, Arjun. Only you be my instrument. Only you be my instrument. O Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Kill who injures his foes with weapons, who rules fear, the conveyance of victory, and who thinks himself the doer. Also other brave warriors already doomed to death. Be not distressed. Fight, and you will conquer the enemies in battle. Only you be my instrument. He who is victorious over all said, having heard the words of embodiment of the functions of creation, preservation, and transformation, Krishna, the Blessed One, Arjuna, trembled, bowing down to the doer of all, Krishna, and having bowed, spoke in a voice choked with overwhelming emotion. Clarity of pure devotion said, it is appropriate, ruler of the senses, Krishna, that the world is delighted and rejoices in your praise. Demons fly in all directions in fear, and those of attainment bow. And why should they not bow to you, O great soul, the greatest supreme divinity, primary doer, infinite, supreme of gods, residence of the world, imperishable, that supreme which is both true being and non-being? You are the foremost God, the ancient, full, complete consciousness, the supreme refuge of this universe, the one who knows, the object of knowledge and the supreme place. The universe is pervaded by you, infinite form. You are the Lord of wind, the Lord of death, Lord of fire, Lord of water, the moon, creator of beings and great grandfather of existence. I bow and bow to you again, thousands of times and again, I bow to you, I bow to you. I bow to the front of you, I bow to the back of you, I bow to every side of you, infinite in courage and great in capacity, you exist in all and you are all. Presumptuously regarding you as a friend, I called, hey Krishna, member of the tribe of Yadu, hey friend. Incognizant of your greatness because of carelessness or even because of love, whatever disrespect I offered while playing, lying down, sitting up, or eating, alone, or while in company, O imperishable, O immeasurable one, I implore you to forgive. You are the father of the world which moves and does not move, the highly respected guru. There is no other in the three worlds who surpasses your greatness, none equal to you, O luminous light without a second. Therefore, desiring your blessing, I have bent my body bowing to the adorable Lord. Forgive me, O Lord, like a father to a son, like a friend to a friend, like a lover to the beloved. I am filled with delight having seen that which was not seen before, but my mind is distressed with fear. O Supreme among the gods, be pleased and show me only that form, O residence of the universe. I desire to see you even as before in that same form, wearing a crown with four arms, holding a club and a discus, O image of the universe with 1,000 arms. I can't count the 1,000 arms. I can't even project the end of it. Just show me 4 of them. I'll be pleased. I cannot conceive the infinity of your immeasurable form. Please just show me 4 arms.
You didn't like the first vision?
Oh, it was just too much. Said, come to me, Saguna, not Nirguna. Here you are in the form of all. Come to me in one particular form that I can have a relationship with. How can I be a lover to the form of all? I mean, the form of all is overwhelming. It's terrifying. You're everywhere. I can't love you everywhere. Please take one form that I can have a relationship with. I don't want to be the apple pie. I want to eat the apple pie. I want to be in relationship. Please take the one form that I can have a relationship with you. Because the formless, the infinite form, the form of infinity, it's much too much for me to relate to. The respected Supreme Divinity said, clarity of pure devotion, from my contentment in my union with my own soul, this supreme form, full of light, has been revealed to you. Universal, infinite, foremost, which was not seen by any other before. Not by Vedic sacrifices, not by sacred study, not by the actions of severe purifying austerities, is it possible to see me in the world of men by any other than you, O hero of the family of those who act. Do not be afraid or of confused attitude having seen my terrible form. Abandon all fear and with a delighted mind again behold my form. So only the clarity of pure devotion can possibly see this form of the infinite. Not by sacrifices or sacred study, not by the purifying austerities. No one can see this infinite form other than the clarity of pure devotion. Only when we are clearly focused in devotion can we abandon any other thought. That is focused. The clarity of pure devotion focuses attention to the exclusion of all other thoughts. And no other means is there to attain that vision. Only by becoming the clarity of pure devotion. He who is victorious over all said, having thus spoken to clarity of pure devotion, Lord of the earth, Krishna, showed his own form again. Having again become of the mild form, the great soul encouraged him who had been afraid. Clarity of pure devotion said, having seen this your mild human form, who is worshipped by the people, Krishna, now I am composed with consciousness restored to its nature. The respected Supreme Divinity said, it is very hard to see this form as you have seen. Even the gods desire to see this, my eternal form. Not by the Vedas, not by purifying austerities, not by gifts nor by sacrifices is it possible to see me as you have seen. But only by unswerving devotion is it possible to actually see this form, to know it and to enter into it, clarity of pure devotion's supreme light. Who does my actions, who is devoted to me as the supreme, who relies on no other, who has no enmity in all existence, he comes to me, O son of he who is without prejudice, Arjuna. Om. Please. Yes, absolutely. Yes, all the way through. Again and again, it's saying that the austerities and the Vedic sacrifices and the sacred study will help us to cultivate the devotion, will help us to focus. But the vision of God comes only through renunciation. And the renunciation comes only through pure devotion. So as we get deeper and deeper into the study, we increase our commitment to the sadhana. And as we do more and more sadhana, more austerities and more Vedic sacrifices and more chanting and more meditation, we go deeper and deeper inside, our commitment becomes stronger. And as the commitment becomes stronger, the devotion naturally becomes stronger. So we do it with greater and greater feeling until we forget that we're the doer. And this is just the path. Are there other questions in chapter 11?
The devotion that Arjuna expresses to Krishna, is that like the devotion that Hanuman expresses to him?
Is it different? They're both. Yes, they both represent devotion. It's just a different enactment of the same attitude in a different circumstance. So that Hanuman is pure devotion, jumping across the ocean of worldliness. Arjuna is saying, now that I've seen you, I've become, make me only an instrument. I accept I am only the instrument. Krishna says to him, you be the instrument. Hanuman already was. A little different, but the same story. And you can see all through the scriptures, the same story is being repeated. The same battles are being fought. The ten-headed demon stole away the pure nature of consciousness, and pure devotion had to jump over the ocean of worldliness in order to find the pure nature of consciousness. Ramayana. Too much and too little stole, and self-conceit and self-deprecation, and the great ego stole the purity and clarity of consciousness from the gods. The gods had to call upon the Divine Mother to set them to take away the energy from the ego so that they could regain their position in heaven. Chandi. The defender of evil has stolen away the kingdom from the sons of he who is without prejudice. And clarity and pure devotion, clarity of pure devotion is having the dialogue of why he should fight with the doer of all. And the dialogue is going on, Bhagavad Gita. And as we look at all of the scriptures, we find the exact same dramatization, just updated towards new circumstances. Just as life in the Devi Mandir is exactly the same battle that we're fighting ourselves every day. The same battle. And we'll see what our chair gives as advice. Are there other questions? Om Sam Saraswati Namaha.